Welcome to the Light Church Podcast. This is David Oakes. I'm pastor of the Light Church Fellowship in Bartlesville, Oklahoma, and I'm founder of Israel Study Tours with David Oakes and David Oakes Ministries. Thanks for joining me for this latest edition of the Light Church Podcast. Well, over the last 3 weeks, we have been speaking on the subject of the fix. Actually, we took one sermon that I taught in the pulpit at the Light Church Fellowship in Bartlesville, Oklahoma, and we divided that sermon up between 3 podcasts. And we believe in the name of Jesus that you learned something and you were blessed. But now it's time to move on to the second sermon from that series, The Fix. And so you will hear today the second part. The first part, remember, was we looked at the raven. Today we look at the widow. So be blessed in the name of Jesus. After the sermon is completed, I'll be back on to speak some more things to you and give you some more information. Be blessed in the name of Jesus. Enjoy.
On Sunday morning, December the 18th, 2005, the Lord spoke this through me in the Sunday morning service. 2006 is the year for the fix. 2006 is the year for the fix. Well, I was just getting ready to preach, speaking in little tongues, and out of my mouth came, 2006 is the year for the fix. So as I meditated on that for a while, you know, it's just one thing to have. If the Lord says something, you better spend some time on it and see what He wants out of that. I mean, you got a milk cow, and that milk cow comes up and, you know, and looking at you. It's coming up for a purpose, for you to milk it. So get a hold of it and start squeezing. Glory to God. You know, that's it. And so when something comes from the Lord, get a hold of it and start squeezing. It'll give forth something. And so I got a hold of it and started squeezing because I wanted to find out what the Lord wanted out of that. And so I took the, on Tuesday evening, December 26th, the Lord began to deal with my spirit concerning the fix. December 26, 2005. And I grabbed the Merriam-Webster's dictionary beside our bed, and I looked up fix. Now, I want you to get this. If you're not taking notes, you ought to. It means to make firm, stable, or stationary, to give a permanent or final form to. Fix means to change into a stable compound or available form. I mean, that right there, that'd be worth a sermon. Just for a fix where things are turned into a stable compound. Stability. It means to set or place definitely, to establish, says Mr. Webster's dictionary. Verse 4. Number 4, to set in order. Set in order. Oh, I like that one because it reminded me of a sermon I once preached. To set in order. To adjust. Fix means to get ready. To prepare. Fix means repair and to mend. The other should have been prepare. This one means repair and mend. And it means to restore and cure. So, 2006, with these definitions in mind, 2006 is the year for the fix. It is the year to make firm, stable, stationary, to give a permanent or final form to set or place definitely, to establish, to set in order. Woo, glory to God, I just got it. To set in order, to adjust, get ready, prepare, repair, to mend, to restore, to cure. So the Lord spoke that prophetically in our morning service on the 18th of December, and we began last Sunday to speak on it. Now, as I said, when I got to the part of the definition that said to set in order, it drew up on the inside of me a sermon that I preached one time out of 1 Kings, the 17th chapter. The Hebrew word to set in order is the word tzava. Tzava means to appoint, to put, to set in order. And so we want to look in some cases at that Hebrew word tzava because it means to set in order. It means to fix. Okay? So we went over to 1 Kings, the 17th chapter last week, and this is where my studies took me. And we began to look at Elijah's life not necessarily his ministry, but his life, because James 5 tells us, Sharon, that he was a man subject to like passions as we are. In other words, he got down sometimes. He had a moment of victory, and then he started looking at situations and circumstances, and he got down. He did just like we're tempted to do sometimes, or maybe we fall into it, and yet God still set things in order for him, even though he was down and even though he was out. So we're looking at him as a man. We're not looking at him as a preacher and God providing for him as a preacher. We're looking for him as a man and God doing things and setting things in order for him as a man. And there were three instances where God uses this Hebrew word tzavah to set in order, that God fixed things for Elijah so that Elijah's life would be a good life. 1 Kings chapter 17. And we found this here in verse 4. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, the time of famine, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. The word commanded is the word tzavah in Hebrew. The word means, glory to God, to set in order. So not only did he command, but God began to set in order a raven. In God's divine plan, he placed in his divine plan a raven there to feed Elijah in this type of famine. That was part of the fix for his life. In the divine, and I got into last week how things are ordered in God. And God just moved this thing. And order, my friends, is really the most important thing to life. Because I used for an example how my father put together puzzles. And the puzzles, he's got everything to form a beautiful picture in those pieces. But until they are set in order, there's nothing beautiful about it. It's just a mess. We have things in life that God wants to just set in order so that there is a beautiful picture of our life and for our life. And so we looked at the raven. And we found out wonderful things about the raven. We don't have time to go through it. But the raven is a picture of the world. And we went through and showed you in scriptures. The raven was one that went to and fro. The raven was unclean. The Bible tells us in the New Testament that we're not supposed to take part in the unclean thing. The raven is a type of the world system, the world itself. And the Lord is painting a picture for us in this last time that he will set in order things pertaining to the world that will end up ultimately being a blessing to the church when God takes the wealth of the sinner, glory to God, and that they have been hoarding and heaping up, and it will be released into the church of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And so the raven is painting a picture of the world. I urge you to get that tape last week because, as I said, we don't have time to go through the whole thing. Now turn with me, if you would please, over to Exodus, because we do want to see this before we go on to the next item, the widow. Hallelujah. Go with me to Exodus, the 12th chapter. And we used as a main example in our teaching something that you all know about. And the children of Israel were doing exactly what God told them to do. And it says in verse 35, this is when the children of Israel are getting ready to go out of captivity, out of Egypt, into the promised land. And the children of Israel did according to the word of Moses, and they borrowed of the Egyptians jewels of silver, the jewels of gold and raiment. And the Lord gave the people favor in the sight of Egyptians, so that they lent unto them such things as they required, and they spoiled the Egyptians. Now we looked a bit at Hebrew grammar, and we found out that this was in the hyphal mode, and the hyphal mode is the causal mode. In other words, this was caused to happen. Some things in Hebrew you can't translate, but it happens this way, and we use this definition, or we use this expanded translation of the Hebrew text, and it's more like this. When they went to them and said, now can we have your jewels, and they said, yeah, here, take them. But actually, when it's in the hyphal mode, it goes more like this. They went to the children of Israel and said, ask us for anything that we have, and we will gladly give it to you. They had just been through great times of judgment. And now they're coming to the children of Israel. In other words, they realized that the hand of God was on them because God was passing over them and they weren't falling into this judgment. So they're saying, ask us for anything that we have and we will gladly give it to you. In fact, we press you. The Hebrew says, we press you to take all that we have and to go your way. We want you to have it. So it's not just a thing where they borrowed it from them. They went to them and said, ask us for anything we got. We'll give you anything that we've got. You just take it and go. And the Spirit of the Lord is drawing a picture for us in this hour of the fix. The church has got a lot more preaching to do. I said, the church has got a lot more preaching to do. The church has got a lot more souls to reach. There's still people in this world that have never heard the name Jesus. And preaching to them on television is not going to be good enough. And preaching to them on the internet is going to be good. They don't have televisions and they don't have computers. We're going to have to preach some other way. We're going to have to get more preachers out there. We're going to have to get, that's how they're going to hear. We're going to have to get more preachers and pay more preachers to go. We're going to have to pay preachers to go so that preachers won't have to spend their time coming back in the United States and trying to earn a little money from going church to church to church to church so they have enough to go back and stay for a couple of months before they have to come back. It costs money to preach. And this hour, the money's going to come in from the world. The world's going to come to the church and say, just ask us for what we got and we'll give it to you. And we're going to get out of the mindset, well, you know, that's okay. We really do. No, we're going to say, this is what I need and this is what I want. We're going to be bold enough to say it. The only way we're going to be bold enough to say it is somebody keeps preaching it. When the world comes to us, we've got to be ready to say what we want. So those preachers can come and you can just give them what they need to have so that they can go preach and not be concerned about coming back to the United States and raising money. Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. So the raven is a type of the world that is going to be set in order so that the wealth of the world comes into the body of Christ. Now we're going to go on because I could preach that again, but then our sermon this morning would be 3 hours long, and so we won't do it. Amen. Let's go on to the next one. Hallelujah. Are you ready? 1 Kings 17, you got that? Let's find the next entry of the word tzavah, as God set in order, fixed things for Elijah. And it says in verse 8, and the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. God's still painting pictures for us. You've probably never looked into Zarephath before. Zarephath is there for a purpose, and Zidon is there for a purpose. Nothing is in the Bible for no purpose whatsoever. Everything in the Bible is for a purpose. We just might not know the purpose today of all things. But we stick with it long enough. Go to heaven, sit at the feet of Jesus, and we'll see it. Notice, arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Don't just visit, dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. Well, as anybody reads down through this, you can find out that a widow woman there didn't know that she had been commanded. Well, the word commanded is this Hebrew word tzavah, to set in order. In other words, God had set her in the order. She was part of the plan, whether she knew it or not. She was part of the plan to provide for this man, to fix his situation. This is the passage of Scripture that was drawn back to my remembrance. But now I see that God is painting pictures for us, with the raven being the world that is bringing the wealth into the body. So what place does the widow have to play? What is God trying to paint with the word widow and the woman that is the widow? Well, first of all, we'll look at this. The word widow appears in the Bible when it is identified with a peculiar person, when a person is actually named, a location is given for them. Now, I say that because the law of Moses has a situation where it talks about the things of widowhood and all that, but nobody specifically is being spoken of. But when we're talking about a widow that is specifically spoken of, like the widow of Nain, this widow of Zarephath, we're speaking of a specific widow that only occurs 9 times in the Word of God. In fact, we can go through and give you those scriptures if you'd like, just to check up on me. Genesis 38:19, it talks of the widow of Tamar. And 2 Samuel 14:5, the widow of Tekoa. 1 Kings 7:14, Hiram's mother, a widow son of the tribe of Naphtali. 1 Kings 11:26, Zeruah, the widow. Here in our situation, 1 Kings 17:9, the widow of Zarephath. In Mark 12:42, the poor widow with the two mites that we looked at in the offering. Luke 2:37, Anna, who was a widow. Luke 7:12, the widow of Nain. And Luke 18:3, the importunate widow. So it's telling us of 9 specific widows, only 9 throughout the Word of God. Now we have in a situation with Naomi and Ruth, we knew that they were widows, but it never called them widows. It just said that their husbands died. See what I'm saying about? So you can go through and you can find out more, but these have the word widow attached to a specific person. Now you say, why? Why is that important? Well, this is the way me works, the me, David Oaks. I want to know why. If you never have a question why, you're never going to find out anything about the Bible. Now, look through your list and tell me in that list, where does the widow of Zarephath, what number does she occupy in the list? 5. When I saw 5, how many of you know what perked up on the inside of me? Grace. Because as we've taught in times past, 5 is the number of grace in the Bible. Grace is not only unmerited favor, but grace is what is mandatory for to be fruitful and to multiply. Abraham was Abram. Sarah was Sarai. Until God came on the scene and added one letter to both of their names to make Abram, Avraham, and Sarai, Sarah. And the letter that he added was the letter He in Hebrew, which is Aleph, Bet, Gimel, Dalet, He, is the 5th letter of the Hebrew alphabet. In fact, on the 5th day when God created, it was that day that things were made to be fruitful and multiply. After God added the 5th letter to Abraham's name, he said, be fruitful. He told him, you're going to be fruitful now. It takes grace to be fruitful. Now, let me tell you this. We live in the dispensation of grace. We live in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. For by grace are you saved through faith. We are in that grace at time. Glory be unto God. God shed his grace out on this earth when Jesus Christ raised from the dead, and it's grace that causes us to come in the body of Christ. But it's that grace also that causes us to be fruitful and to have multiplication in our life. God doesn't want us to be non-fruitful and non-multiplying. He wants us to be fruitful and multiplying. And we're not just talking about children. We're talking about all aspects of life. God wants us to have abundance. In other words, God, in that same passage where he added an H to Abraham's name, said, I am El Shaddai. I am the Almighty God. I am the Mighty Breasted One. I am the All-Sufficient One. I am your source now. God came on the scene as a source and then graced him. Grace makes God our source. Now, look at this. The widow of Zarephath, so here's the process. I want to take you through a process. It's important. This is, I recently have subscribed to satellite radio because one of my favorite composers has started teaching on satellite radio, and he goes through the process of writing. And it's really that which inspires, and it's really, really informative. And so there are ways, and this is the same kind of thing I'm doing with you. If you're so interested and inclined, you just have to complete the road till you see a dead end. You can't stop until you come to a dead end. So I saw this, okay, and I'm writing this down. Widow 5, I said, this is marked by grace. Marked by grace. So I went on, and I read on. Verse 9, arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and there, behold, I have commanded a widow woman. Everybody say a widow woman. There to sustain thee. I have set in order. And this scripture already is being marked by grace. So I said, well, let's just go on down the road a little bit further. So I said, let's find out about Zidon and Zarephath. Okay? Turn with me to Joshua, the 19th chapter. These are the kinds of truths, as they start rolling off the page, that make me giggle. Sometimes I'm at my desk and I just start laughing. Because you see God's mind, you see God's plan in play. And you see how great and magnificent is His mind. Hallelujah. And how He knows everything that He ever wrote. Unlike me, I don't know everything I ever preached. He knows everything He ever preached and knows how it works with everything it's going to be preached and knows how it's going to work. He just knows how it all works together. And it's our job to find out by digging. Zidon. That's what we're going to look at. Now, chapter 18 tells us this, that they had gone in and they had only, the children of Israel, had only possessed a certain part of their land. And he says in verse 3 of chapter 18, we'll go there first. And Joshua said unto the children of Israel, how long are you slack to go to possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers have given you? Give out from among you 3 men for each tribe, and I will send them, and they shall rise and go through the land and describe it according to the inheritance of them, and they shall come again to me, and they shall divide it into 7 parts. So there was a group of the tribes that had not gotten their land like God had promised, and it's because they were lazy. So God said, how long are you going to mess with this? It's time to do it. Get 3 of each. Go stake out your claim. It's time. Do it. God's saying the same thing to the church. That's another sermon. And so it goes into chapter 19. It first starts with the tribe of Benjamin. Then it goes up here to chapter 19. Goes to Simeon. Then it goes in verse 10 to Zebulun. And it gets down here into verse 24. And notice what it says. And the 5th lot came out for the tribe of the children of Asher according to their families. So what lot came to the tribe of Asher? The 5th. So it goes through and talks about the towns. And it gets down to verse 28 and it says, and Hebron and Rehob and Hamam. Now this Hebron is not the same one that's south of Jerusalem. This is one up near the Lebanese border at that time. And Hebron and Rehob and Haman and Canaan, even unto great Zidon. Zidon was over there on the coast in what is now Lebanon, up there in the very northern part. In fact, the tribe of Asher, which had Zidon, why is Zidon? Because that's where Zarephath was at, is in the very northern part of the tribal territorial possessions of Israel. It was up at the top. It goes to the Mediterranean, what is now the modern-day state of Lebanon, not forever, and comes down. So their tribes are at the outer far reaches of the tribal possessions of Israel. But notice what number their lot was. 5. So now you can begin to see God's work. There's something about grace here. 1 times chance. 2 times you're starting to see a pattern. Amen. Now let's go to Deuteronomy, if you would please. Deuteronomy 33. 2006 is the year for the fix. He has set in order a widow. The widow is painting a picture of something for us that's going to be fixed in this hour. Amen. So you can imagine with me, here's the modern day state of Israel. It goes like this, and up at the very top on the coastal area by the Mediterranean, what is now Lebanon, comes this little thing that goes like that, and it's the tribe of Asher. And in Asher is Zidon. Zidon's right there on the coast, and Zarephath is in that area at the very northern outreaches. I mean, you can't go any further or you'll fall out of Israel's possessions. Now look with me, if you would please, Deuteronomy 33:24. And of Asher he said, Moses is blessing them before, blessing the children of Israel before his demise. Verse 24, and of Asher he said, let Asher be blessed with children, let him be acceptable to his brethren, and let him dip his foot in oil. Now that oil is not talking about petroleum. That oil is talking about olive oil. Olive oil was much more important back then than petroleum. Olive oil The olive tree was plentiful in Asher because of the cool climate, because of the northern part of it. And he said, it's going to be so plentiful that they'll be able to dip their foot in oil. Okay. Let's go back, if you would, please, to 1 Kings. Now we're getting a picture of the widow of Zarephath. Her name appears as the fifth of the nine widows that are spoken of in Scripture. It's marked with grace. Asher, the tribe, was the fifth lot that fell, which is the territorial place of Zidon and Zarephath, marked again by grace. Also in this area, we have the anointing, the oil, which is a type of the anointing. He's drawing a picture. Grace is here. Grace is marked on this, but not only grace, there is a stamping of the anointing of God on the outer perimeters of the territorial possessions of Israel. Stay with me, if you would, please. Let me just say this here. I believe strongly that God is painting a picture of a believer that lives on the outer perimeters of God's grace, furthest point from the very heart of what God's doing. They're out on the very extremes, but here's the good news. And we'll find out more about this widow in just a second, see how she behaves. Here's the good news. No matter how far you're out there dwelling from the center, the anointing's still out there reaching you, and grace is still out there reaching you. And God, in this hour, I'll just get to the end and put it in the middle, and we'll finish it. God, in this hour, is going to fix that all up, and you're going to see at the end of it that those people who are living on the perimeters are going to come over to the center of God's plan.
Praise the Lord. This is Pastor David again. You have been listening to this first portion of the second sermon of the series entitled The Fix. Remember, 2006 is the year for the fix. Glory be unto God. Next podcast, we will be concluding this second sermon from this series. So be sure to log on to get the remainder of this sermon. Remember us online at davidoaksministries.org, davidoaksministries.org. Praise the Lord. Tell your friends about the Light Church podcast. Glory to God. The listenership is increasing every single week. We just as well have your friends downloading also. Praise be unto God. If you would like to contact us, you can either do it through the website or reach us at David Oaks Ministries, P.O. Box 3261, Bartlesville, Oklahoma, 74006. And Bartlesville is spelled B-A-R-T-L-E-S-V-I-L-L-E. Bartlesville, Oklahoma, 74006. We praise the Lord for you, and we are praying for you. Really, we're praying for you in Jesus' name. We'll see you next time.